The Old Testament prophet Zechariah had 10 visions, and they happened all on the same night. Now, the Bible describes many instances where people had visions from God, and every one of them are verifiably from God. Over the 1,000 years of world history, God has given people visions, but giving people visions is the exception and not the rule. Maybe you've heard the phrase from church people, "Well, I've had a vision from God." Or maybe you've heard pastor types say this, "I have a vision for the church." Visions are messages given by God, sometimes when you're sleeping and sometimes when you're not. Zechariah's visions come at night. My guess is, since they occurred at night, he was sleeping. Now, we have to be pretty careful about declaring that God has given us a vision, because sometimes the message isn't coming from God at all. Many times, a vision is born from our deepest wants and desires. This has happened to me more than once, especially when I eat chocolate at bedtime. If God gives us a vision, biblical truth must come from it. If God gives us a vision, it must be compatible with Scripture. Italian poet Dante had a beautiful vision, but it was about as biblical as Harry Potter. In Dante's vision, he saw people weaving their way to heaven by going through 10 circles of hell and then through 10 heavens. What his vision meant was eventually everyone winds their way into heaven, which biblically is not true. We know that Zechariah's vision was legit because it landed in the Bible. Reading now from Zechariah 2, verses 1 through 5. "And I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I said, 'Where are you going?' And he said to me, 'To measure Jerusalem, to see what its width and what its length.' And behold, the angel who talked with me came forward, and another angel came forward to meet him and said to him, 'Run, say that to the young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst.'" In this vision that Zechariah has, God is ordering Jerusalem to be measured to make sure it's big enough to hold all the people that are going to move there. To Zechariah, this would have been really weird to worry about how big Jerusalem was, because at the time, there weren't enough people there to shake a stick at. There was lots of room. However, God promises to bring so many people to Jerusalem that they will overflow the boundaries of the city. And then God says in the vision, "You guys aren't going to need any walls. Yes, they are still going to need protection, but God will be their protection. His protection will be like a wall of fire around them." Ancient walls were essential for any city's survival. Only nations with a death wish didn't build walls around its cities. Your enemy could and would just waltz right in. Yet here the angel says, "Build Jerusalem without walls." The city is to spread out freely. No wall could even compare to the protection that God was going to provide for Jerusalem. In many European cities, walls were constructed to cordon off the Jews. These cordoned off areas invariably turned into ghettos. Walls kept people in their proper places. Walls divided the aristocrats from the peasants, the priests from the parishioners, the educated from the illiterate. Before the Berlin Wall was built, Berliners on both sides of the city could move back and forth freely. They could cross the east-west border to go to work, to shop, go to the theater, and visit their family. Trains and subways carried passengers back and forth. The impetus for the wall occurred after approximately 2.5 million East Germans fled the economic oppression of East Germany to the economic freedom of West Germany. Many of these were skilled workers, professionals, and intellectuals. Their absence threatened to destroy the economic stability of the East German state, which is already in fragile condition. To stop the hemorrhaging of valuable East Germans, in August of 1961, a wall was built in the dark of night. By the 1980s, the original crude wall was revamped into a system of walls, electrified fences, and fortifications. Behind the wall on the East German side was this place called the Death Strip. If you tried to get past the Berlin Wall, you were killed. In East Berlin, Sigrid Pahl gave birth to a little boy the day the wall went up. However, the baby was born breech and needed the kind of care that could only be provided in West Berlin. So the baby was sent to a West Berlin hospital while his mother stayed in an East Berlin hospital. The wall went up and Mrs. Pahl was instantly separated from her child. To make matters worse, Mrs. Pahl spent 2 years in prison just for asking to see her baby. Personal walls are built for the same reason the Berlin Wall was built, to defend the interior, to keep others out, to keep ourselves in. We're all just a little bit fragile, and the most natural thing in the world for us to do is build a wall to keep from getting wounded again. Many of us think we're protecting ourselves by building up walls to keep others out. We want to protect ourselves from having people know us too well and then turn around and reject us. The truth is, at the same time we are keeping others out, we are keeping ourselves trapped in a world of loneliness, fear, anger, and anxiety. I've built many walls with bricks made from fear, anger, and pride, and misunderstanding. I've built many walls to keep people from really getting to know me, and then them hurting me. But the funny thing is, I found that when people see my wall, they build theirs up a little thicker and a little higher. And the walls between us become endless building projects. Walls are great when it comes to our houses. We need them to hold our walls up, our roof up. But houses would fall down without them. But walls aren't so great when it comes to people or God, and especially God. Walls are meant to control people's comings and goings. Walls control how much we can love others and how much others can love us. Sadder yet, walls shut out a loving God. The surveyor in Zechariah's vision wanted to measure for walls, but he was ordered not to because it would limit God. When we build walls in our lives, we limit what God can do. We limit God's ability to protect and provide. Walls not only keep people at arm's length, but they keep God at arm's length too. Even when we know this, we defend our walls with military vigilance. One summer day, I went out to collect the mail. The minute I stepped out the door, a squirrel went nuts, pardon the pun. He ran halfway down the tree, arched his back, and I'm pretty sure he flipped me the bird. He had a walnut in his mouth, so I didn't understand what he was saying, but I'm certain it wasn't nice. That little creature started screaming at me from the minute I opened the door until the minute I hustled back in. I have to admit, I was a little afraid of that little nutcase. Once again, apologies for the pun. Why was this squirrel so irate? Because I breached his wall. I had broken into his boundary. Isn't this how we get when someone tries to cross our boundary or climb over our walls? We get all hissy. Admit it. Your face looks pretty much like the squirrel's face. We measure off our walls to box off the areas in our lives. My faith goes in one box. My problems go in another. My family is yet in another box. My job is in another. Often our boxes are more important than what is in the box because human nature just loves a box. Watch kids on Christmas. They don't care what's in the present. They want to play with the box. A box is a barrier, four walls that keep certain things and people in their proper places. Unfortunately, we've put God in a box too. We usually keep him in our religion box. But when we have a problem at work, we take him out and we put him in that box. And when we have a problem with our families, we take him out of that box and we put him in this box. And when we have a problem with something in our relationships, we take him out, we put him there. What would happen if we broke down every one of those walls and allowed God to enter into all of our spaces, all of our boxes? I am certain he would do a lot more. If we apply Zechariah's vision, here's what it means. Depend on God, and you are not going to need a wall. You're not going to need a box. God has no boundaries. He has no limits. He can't be put into a box. When we give God full rights into our lives, there is nothing he cannot do. All of us have certain limitations. For instance, I am limited when it comes to details. If something requires too many details, I get lost really fast. I can't tell you the number of times I've missed an appointment or I've double booked an appointment. Yes, I have a calendar. Yes, I write things on my calendar, but I don't always remember to look at my calendar. Details are a big problem for me. That's why I keep Jim around. Well, one of the reasons. Although we have limitations, God does not. This is the point in the message where smart Alex like me ask questions like this. If there's nothing God can't do, can he create a stone he cannot lift? This is known in theological circles as the omnipotence paradox. P.S. The answer to that is no. God cannot create a stone he cannot lift. It's just not possible. Some of these paradox questions are just plain weird, like, can God make a round triangle? Why would he? If he did, then it wouldn't be a triangle anymore. God is not dumb. These kinds of questions come from one place and one place only, to try to trip God up and to make him seem like he's not as good or powerful as the Bible says he is. And here's something for you. The Bible never once claims that God can do everything. Yes, he is almighty. Yes, he is all powerful, but he can't do everything. Case in point, he cannot sin. God cannot do everything, but he certainly can do anything he wants to that falls under his divine and holy character. I'd venture to say that we all can agree on that. So why then are we so busy measuring our walls, trying to limit God? Why do we run out and measure what God can or cannot do in our lives? I think part of the reason is because we just can't understand the power that God truly has. It seems sort of silly to me to throw up walls and put limits on the creator of the universe. We put limits on God when we think we have him all figured out. We put limits on God when we think, well, he only works in this way or he only works in that way. We limit God when we think, if I do X, then God has to do Y. Who can put walls around God? Who can limit the power of the God who created the simple bee? Bees have fascinated scientists and casual observers since the dawn of time. They are amazing little creatures created by a God who has no limits. Consider the social behavior of these little insects. A swarm of bees have as many as 50,000 individual members. They have three distinct classes among them: the queen, the drones, and the workers. The queen's job is to lay eggs, which she does by the thousands, and she only needs to mate one time to do this. She picks which eggs to fertilize, and those eggs become females. The non-fertilized eggs become males. Did you know that male bees don't have a father, but they do have a grandfather? Go figure that one out. The worker bees do all the work. The queen eats and lays eggs, and the drones, they don't work. They lie around the hive eating chips and watching football. They don't watch the kids, they don't do the laundry, they don't go grocery shopping, and they do not clean the house. They just sit around all day waiting for beeharmony.com to call. If a drone's phone rings, he has a date with the queen, after which he dies. If he is not called, he gets kicked out of the hive and he dies. Die being the operative word. Although they have teeny tiny little brains, each bee brain works more quickly and more efficiently than a computer. They have a complex method of communication that includes pheromones and dancing. They can fly at the rate of 15 miles an hour. They are the only insects that produce food eaten by humans. Ever eat anything produced by a fly? I think not. Honey is the only food that contains everything that a human being needs nutritionally, and it is the only food that does not spoil. What or who has set these small buzzing miracles into motion? Our limitless God. The God that we have cannot be boxed in or walled in. If God thought so much to put so much into a little tiny insect like that, what do you think he has put into you? When he created you, there were no walls, no boundaries, no boxes that you were put in. God created you for a certain purpose, and he is limitless. And if you count on him, he will help you see it through. Our God is amazing. The Psalms tells us how amazing he is. Psalms 93:1, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Psalm 95:1-7, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Just when we think we know how big God is, he shows us he is bigger still. Just when we think we have seen how powerful God is, he shows us even more power. Just when we think God has done everything he can, he does even more. Just when we think we have received all the forgiveness we possibly can, he forgives even more. God's works cannot be measured, and he cannot be contained within our walls or our boxes. I encourage us all today to put down our tape measures when it comes to God. Put down your bricks and mortar. Allow our limitless God, the Lord of all creation, to break through every single one of our walls, and let's see what he can do.